Welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast, all happening in here this morning with Gowie joining us as guest co-host along with Lozza. And we've got Dean Bulldog Richie coming up shortly. We've had gold for Australia, stacks of it again this morning. Nina Kennedy in the pole vault as well. Clinch gold earlier this morning. The mixed medley relay, there was more gold there. Emma McKeon amongst it. Zach Stubblety-Cook. Who else was in that? Matt Temple, Kaylee McEwen in the mixed medley. They've won gold there this morning. And he is here in the studio, the great Dean Bulldog Richie, the co-host of the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend program and Daily Telegraph journalist extraordinaire. Morning to you, Bulldog.
Morning, boys. I can start with some breaking news. David Clemmer has been issued a show cause notice as to why his contract shouldn't be terminated at the Newcastle Knights.
He's going to get sacked.
He is fighting to save his career amid suggestions that he could be terminated immediately. This is an breaking story which is unfolding as we talk right now. There will be meetings today between both parties. It's a strange situation. There's more to this story than Clemmer being stood down for a game based on an on-field argument with their head trainer, Hayden Knowles. I don't know what the rest of the story is. It will no doubt emerge. He hasn't been sacked just yet, but it's a watch this space. And as I understand, talks will happen today, and there is talk that Clemmer is fighting to save his career up at Newcastle.
Is it just about, do you believe, what was said on the field, or is there been other ongoing issues?
I don't know, Laurie. I'd find it hard to suggest that that incident alone would be enough to terminate a contract. I should also add that that story has broken on the Daily Telegraph website. So if you want all your details on this unfolding Clemmer story, go to dailytelegraph.com.au and the story is there in the NRL section. So look, we'll see what happens today, Laurie. He might fight, he might kick, he might scream and save his career up there, but I understand he wasn't overly happy about being denied the chance to go to Parramatta 2 days ago in a late season switch.
Interesting, because some snouts at Newcastle saying that he's very, very happy up there, wants to stay there post-career, and the family's very happy up there, but you're hearing otherwise.
Well, certainly the show cause notice, you know, indicates that the club wants some answers out of him and they want to know why he should retain his contract, which I think ends at the end of next year. He's on a big money contract, Clemmer. I'm told it's around $900,000 a year.
Oh, wow.
So he's on big coin. But I think he's been a good player this year, Laurie.
He's been
very strong.
I think he's been really strong this season in particular for Newcastle.
Could be the best.
Yeah, is it? Do you think it's because he's on big money?
Oh, that's always a possibility, isn't it? No one would ever admit that publicly, but clearly with the salary cap era we live in, if you're on massive money...
And you
money,
just find a way to move someone on, well, so you make save it, money?
You make it cap? Untenable, don't you, Loz? So they want to move on. Mm. Then it's somebody else's problem.
Yeah, but good players are hard to find, Bulldog, aren't they?
They are.
And if,
they
if
are,
we're
Gary.
Saying that he's a state of origin player... and he's been good for a lot of years now. He's only 28 years of age, I think. He's still got a good bunch of years ahead of him. What's the rationale behind
that?
Well,
they might have... Look, I haven't got the Knights roster in front of me. They might have a heap of depth
23-year-olds
in that area coming through, and they think, well, we need... I mean, they need a halfback, don't they? That's fairly clear. So I don't know who's available for them to target, but they might feel, Gowie, that they can use that money elsewhere.
Mm. Just on the Knights on the text line, does O'Brien survive if Knights go winless for the rest of the season like I predict they will? That will mean 9 losses on the trot and only 5 wins for the season. Their efforts this year are nothing short of disgraceful, says Jobbo. Saw Adam O'Brien's comments yesterday saying that he'd like to have the press conference back from post the Bulldogs loss on Sunday. And he conceded he looks like an egomaniac. And reiterated that, you know, they're training to a higher level, which isn't translating onto the field. These were the comments he made in regards to the fact he's been around grand final winning teams, etc., which, you know, didn't come off, I guess, overly great. So he wanted to address that yesterday. But I think you said it yesterday, Loz. You can just sense the pressure.
I think the pressure's on everyone up there. And I think they are all looking at the moment over their shoulders, and they're not knowing who to trust, and they're not believing in the process that was put in place because they supported Adam O'Brien. And I think I read or heard Phil Gardner say at the start of the year or halfway through the year when they were struggling that he wouldn't swap his coaching staff for anyone. He believed that they had the best in the business. So obviously something's changed between now and then. And I just want to know with this Clemmer stuff, is it just because he sprayed a trainer? Because I wouldn't see that as a reason, depending on what he said, of course. If you're just having a blow-up with a trainer for wanting you to leave the field and you don't leave the field and you're telling him to pee off, and that's a reason to get sacked.
It's like any workplace employment, Laurie. You can't just sack people because you have a whim. There's got to be reasons for that. And look, whether there's a dossier on Clem up there, I don't know. We know he's a hothead, but I'm like you. I would imagine just on one black mark against his name, that wouldn't be enough legally, I wouldn't have thought, to terminate a contract. So I think there is more to this story. I don't know what it is just yet. I thought it also was a bit unusual. Adam O'Brien called a press conference yesterday and only gave the media 45 minutes to get to that press conference to explain his comments from a press conference the day before. I mean, I thought it was good that he explained himself, and I quite like Adam, but it was just unusual again. And again, that indicates what you say, Laurie. I think everyone is feeling the heat big time up there.
Hey, Bulldog, we've got a question here from the text line there. Would the Knights consider trading Clemmer for Luke Brooks because they share the same manager? Is that a possibility?
The Brooks room has been around for a while now, Gowie, hasn't it? He's been linked there for 2 years.
But
again,
they need a halfback
they
badly.
They do, desperately. And I think Joey would love to get his hands on Luke Brooks up there. I think he turned him into a superstar. But yet, on the back page of the Telegraph only yesterday, Tim Sheen's saying, hands off, he's not available. And Brooksy's on big money, so I think Brooksy's happy to stay in terms
young
of the coin.
Man, I think he's from Scone.
He is, right.
I think he's from Scone, up that way. So I don't know whether the Newcastle Knights look to bring him back into their fold.
He's restless, Loz. If they keep Hastings and Brooks, and I think you'll find he'll go.
Well, you know, he's done an apprenticeship. He's been in the lower grades. He's starting, 22, 23. Probably feels as though he's ready every time he's handled first grade or played first grade, he's handled it. So I can understand why he'd want out and wants an opportunity to prove himself as a regular number seven. But this will be a story that continues to bubble along all day. And I'm sure that we'll find out more and what the reasons are for Clemmer being given a show cause notice on why he should survive and stay with the Newcastle Knights, or the contract is ripped up and they move on to someone else. But what about the Gold Coast Titans? They're another team that came into the season with high expectations, Bulldog. They made the finals last year, and Justin Holbrook, their coach, made some decisions at the end of last season to go with youth and let experienced players go, in particular in key positions. And now you see Kieran Foran being signed to go and play with the Gold Coast for the next couple of seasons. And there's some rumours and some talk that they're now chasing Ben Hunt.
Yeah, I had that story in today's paper, Loz. The Ben Hunt story is real. There's certainly interest there from the Gold Coast, whether they've got the capacity and money to lure Ben Hunt away. He met with the Dragons last Thursday. The understanding out of that meeting was he was keen to stay. Excuse me. But obviously luring any Queenslander back to Queensland is an attraction. I'm told there's five other clubs that would have an interest in Ben Hunt. He does have a contract until the end of next year. There was a suggestion that the Gold Coast might even ask for Hunt to be released a year early. But I spoke to some key power brokers at the Dragons. That won't be happening. They love Ben Hunt, and he will definitely be there for next year. So whether that interest from the Gold Coast wanes if they can't get him for next year, I can't answer. But certainly he would be available for 2024. And no doubt the lure to go home would be strong. But the gut feeling out of the Dragons, if they're believing what Ben Hunt is saying, is that he's very, very keen to stay.
Now, rugby league greats have slammed the New South Wales government's failure to guarantee funding for four Sydney suburban grounds. And this is a real standoff at the moment between the state government and the NRL.
Yeah, it's over $250 million, Mido. That's generally, essentially funding to Brookvale, which was going to be $100 million. Leichhardt was going to be $50 million and $100 million for Shark Park. Now, in May, that was agreed upon by the NRL and the state government. It now looks like the government is going to renege on that deal by saying that funding can be spent or will be spent elsewhere. The NRL are clearly filthy. The clubs are filthy. And it would mean now that Peter Volandis may take the grand final to Brisbane. Had that stadium deal been formally secured, it meant that the NRL Grand Final was locked in for Sydney until 2042. That deal would now be off the table, and we may be heading to Brisbane for two successive years for our decider.
Just on this then, Bulldog, do you think if it happens that they can't come to an arrangement with the New South Wales government, and we do go to Brisbane, do you think every year then from this year, that they'll open it up for a tender process to take the grand final to different parts of the country and possibly to New Zealand to play a grand final?
Well, if there's no contract laws, they're entitled to. And I would. I'd be saying, bring on the money. Mm-hmm. If you want the big game, then you splash out the coin. And they do it in the NFL every year, don't they? It moves around the country. And when you think about it, there's 8 million people in New South Wales. The ground holds 80,000. So only 1% actually go to the game themselves. Mm-hmm. I don't think the general punter is too concerned where the game's played. As long as he's got his barbecue, he's got his beers locked away, Loz, and he's ready to watch the footy, whether it's at, if he's at home, he doesn't care whether it's at Olympic Park or Timbuktu. But I think that in terms of the money, Perth would love it, the MCG would love it, New Zealand would love it, Adelaide would love it. There's multiple stadiums out there in cities that would love a crack at the NRL Grand Final. What a massive coup for that state.
So let's say New South Wales doesn't take it. It goes to Brisbane. Those suburban grounds don't get fixed up. Who fixes them up then?
That's the key question, Gowie. Where does it leave those suburban grounds? I mean, they're all in reasonable nick at the moment. They're not great.
Leichhardt's terrible.
Yeah, but like Shark Park's okay. Cogra's okay. Brookie's just got a new stand. Yeah. Leichhardt is
antiquated. I've been there plenty of times. It's great to watch footy. You're right on top of it. Everyone's yelling and screaming, but getting a beer and a hot
going
dog
the toilet.
And
see,
a toilet even.
It's just terrible.
It's not great.
But you're right, Gow. If it's not now, when's it going to be? This Brookvale, for example, that's been 30 years now. And finally they thought, you know what, we've finally got a deal. And that looks like it's going to
Tony Abbott
their face.
Said we had a deal down there.
Multiple PMs have.
Nothing.
What about
Zero.
The Northern Beaches Tunnel, Gowie? Bulldog. How long have they been talking about that for?
Correct.
And apparently it's going to get put on the back burner now as well.
But you're right. If it's not now, when are these grounds going to get a lick of paint? Because they desperately need them. Because in 5-10 years, we don't want to get to a stage where a ground is not deemed to be safe for people to attend these days. In this modern day, they want facilities because they're paying good dollars to go to the footy.
Well, talking of Manly and Brookvale Oval, they host Parramatta this weekend.
Friday night, 7:55.
Gowie will be there. where are they at in terms of their playing group? We know that you got an ear to the ground there, and you were saying yesterday or the day before that, there's a divide, a clear divide within the playing ranks. How do you expect them to go, and how's it all going to unfold between now and the end of the season, in your mind? How do you think?
Well,
how does it play out?
Those seven dissenting players are available this week, Laurie. Six of them have been chosen. Josh Alloway is unavailable through a knee injury. Josh Schuster played in the last game, but he's been demoted to 18th man, which
why?
Is a little strange. I'm not quite sure why Josh was the odd man out there, but the other six have been named. They will now be integrated back into the side. You know what, Laurie? I reckon we'll know, not through what the players say, not through what the officials or the coach says in terms of whether they're a club united or divided. I reckon we'll know based on how they play. If they play well and they look strong and they're playing for each other, I think we could all move on time. if they get belted, then I think more questions will be asked. Certainly last week's game against the Roosters, with those replacements, Dez, I thought, did a remarkable job to try to squash all that outside noise, bring in all these kids, and to lose to one of the hot shots by just 10 points, I think was one of the great coaching performances of this season.
Pat Carrigan, 4 weeks last night, Bulldog, for that hip drop tackle on Jackson Hastings. His lawyer asked for two, arguing the two other Broncos contributed to it going wrong. The NRL wanted five or six.
Yeah, clearly the NRL thought they'd probably meet in the middle, and that would be an acceptable punishment, which I thought was about right. I looked at that tackle again last night, Loz, because we discussed it on this show yesterday. It's a bad tackle. We hate them. They've got to be eradicated. But how do you eradicate it? Carrigan actually hits Jackson Hastings on the lower back.
Yeah. And drops. He doesn't go in with force either.
And then, as you said, he drops. He doesn't even go in for the legs. So you cannot tell a player he can't go in and hit
hips
on the lower back and hips and fall to the ground. Gravity's going to take you to the ground. So what do you say to Pat Carrigan to deter him doing that again? Because he's going to say, well, essentially, I did nothing wrong in terms of technique.
Mm. Yeah, and this is the argument. You've got to think it through when you talk about rule changes and how you're going to apply them. And if you discourage people from tackling around the legs, where do they go? Mm. What do you do?
Well, it changes the game, doesn't it? If you can't tackle the legs, yeah. The old blokes would tell you to tackle the legs
Cookie
move.
Made a fair point too, saying these blokes are so big and strong. Yeah. Like Jason Taumalolo, two people, like Cookie and a lock forward, a smaller lock forward, sometimes they just can't stop them in a two-man tackle.
Could it get to the point that the rule brought in that you've got to tackle below the knee so it's only bootlaces that you can tackle?
Well, with these hip drops, it won't matter. Because if you're third man in, or second, if you're second man in, you could slide down. So you could have two men in a tackle.
Yep.
You could have two men in a tackle up top, all right? And I can't stop your momentum, so I've got to take your leg to stop your momentum. So I slide down. But then if I slide down and get one of your legs, just sort of lift it, and the force of the guy still on top, because you lose a lot of your power because you're only on one leg, he could still force your body back over the top and bend you, and you can still end up in a bad position. Yep. And because I'm on your leg, is that going to be then an issue? People will be saying, oh, you
can't slide.
Yeah. Yep. So I don't know the answer to your question.
Can we discuss another pertinent matter before I go?
Yes, of course we can.
The pumping up of car tyres yesterday after our
show.
How
did it go?
It didn't go well.
For those
I have got it on video. We'll discuss it next week.
Yeah.
It really reached a stage where it was.
Well, you know the thing that surprised me? He was blowing up going, my front tyre is flat, so I need to put air in it. So, you know, when you put the gauge on.
Yep.
And it came up. Yeah, you lock it in.
Press the button, lock it in.
Yeah, you got 32. So you got 32. So he puts it on the front and it's 27. All right.
Right.
So he needed to pump
it
up to 32. That's fine. But then we go to the back tyre. He puts it on.
The back tyre's
at 16. I said, mate, it's your back tyre, not your front tyre, that needs the pressure more.
But then the front tyre, which I thought was flat, was 38, not 32. It was about to explode.
So you're telling me you've got a car from Canterbury Toyota all these years, you've never pumped up a tyre, and you've never shown your kids how to pump up a tyre. Change a tyre even.
Yeah, I wouldn't have a clue. You put it onto the nozzle and you press the button down.
You start sounding like you're a mechanic.
He said, what do I do now? Are you serious?
Do you know it beats when it gets to 32 and you press the gauge in at 32? Like, it's got a lot easier these days because you just press a button and tells you when to stop.
It's quite easy now.
Oh, my goodness.
I know what I'm doing now.
I cannot believe that.
Is that a direct quote? It's quite easy now.
Well, you tell me. You didn't know what you were doing. Well, what about this? He goes first. I'm telling him what to do.
Oh,
and I've got no idea. And he's believing me.
I had to give him directions home in the end. I didn't think he was going to make it.
Oh.
Look, my snouts tell me that we've got audio of this, which we might play next Tuesday
when
you're in as guest co-host once again. Hey, Bulldog, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Big news in Formula One overnight, and just this text from Scott at Bris Vegas. Boys, great for us Aussie lovers of F1. Oscar Piastri, Alpine promote Australian driver to replace Fernando Alonso for Formula One 2023. Now, there's further developments to this story overnight. So the 21-year-old Aussie Oscar Piastri, who seems very much destined for a seat in F1, and it seems sooner rather than later, he has actually refuted this announcement made by his team. He's the reserve driver at the moment at Alpine. He's refuted the announcement that they've made that he will be joining Esteban Ocon as teammates there at Alpine next year. Now, Piastri has gone on social media, on Twitter, and said that he hasn't signed a deal with them for next year and he won't be driving for them. Of course, this has all come out due to Fernando Alonso leaving the team to go to Aston Martin, creating a vacancy there. And naturally, it's thought that Piastri will just slot straight in. Now, he's managed by Mark Webber, and there are reports that he could even drive for McLaren. Daniel Ricciardo's at McLaren. Daniel Ricciardo's clearly on the nose due to his performances in recent times. He's under contract next year. What's a contract, though, these days? But there could be very much a situation here where Aussie replaces Aussie at McLaren, but Formula One's every man for himself.
Well, I guess with the way Ricciardo's been sort of handling the team of late, this could be a massive possibility. Mm. This Oscar, he's a superstar.
Yeah.
If you follow his journey of where he's come from to where he's in a short amount of time to actually even have the opportunity to drive F1 is quite amazing, to be in that spot. So that wouldn't surprise me. And it looks like, if you've got Webber being your manager, that's a pretty good manager. Mm. He's been there, done it. He knows what it's all about, the behind-the-scenes type of stuff. And I think we're going to see a superstar in the making here.
So he's basically saying that Mark Webber's released the information without him knowing because Mark's his manager.
No, Alpine has.
Alpine.
The team has.
Yes.
Right.
He's the second driver. He's sitting out because he can't drive. And then he's waiting for a seat, basically.
Right. Yeah. I just thought you might have meant that because he said that the announcement was wrong and had come without my agreement.
Yeah. So Alpine put a statement out saying that next year, now that Fernando Alonso's moved on, that Piastri will be filling.
What's the better car?
Well, I guess
McLaren, it's not a strong car.
They're both battling for fourth in the Constructors' Championship at the moment, those two teams, McLaren and Alpine.
Because really, you want to go to the best car, don't you?
Well, if you're Ricciardo thought he was going to the best car, and it hasn't sort of panned out that way.
I know things can change, but you want to try and make sure you know which one you're getting into is going to be the faster.
On face value, bold though, isn't it? For a 21-year-old who's looking for a gig in F1
he's got something lined up.
Has to.
Yeah. No, you're not knocking back an opportunity like that if you haven't got another option.
Hmm.
Because if you get that option, you're taking it straight away when you're looking for an opportunity.
Gosh, imagine it is Ricciardo's seat though.
Take it on the other scale then, Loz. If he has knocked it back and he hasn't got another seat, he's going to sit out for that year and go, I'm going to go, okay, there might be another seat. There might be a Mercedes seat coming up. There might be a Red Bull seat coming up. I'm just going to wait for that. People know how good I am because I keep winning and I've got that winning trait about me and they're going to take this because it's so, they can come and go that quick. It's ridiculous. So he might be doing the opposite. He might be sitting and waiting.
Mm. Yeah, he could do, but that's a big gamble, isn't it?
Oh, life's a gamble.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Like the thing I'm going to punt on this afternoon.
Yeah. But if you take that opportunity and the cars are, of the same ability, you're trusting yourself to beat the next person that you'll drive better. You're a better driver if the cars are similar.
It's been great to have Gowie sitting in Clarkie's chair this morning. And just on the text line, hi, Gowie, love your golf show. Just remind us, when's it on?
Hey, Tuesday nights, 7:30 to 8:30.
Tuesday night.
Tuesday nights on 5:03. Hey, it's great fun. Thanks for watching. It's been good fun. This season's done. We're wrapping into season two. I've had some great guests, on this year. I had the great Steve War on, a bunch of others, Daisy Thomas, Ryan Pappenhausen before he's injured, and we've got a big lineup of guests and hopefully some more international guests for season three.
This text says, who was that old caddy you had on the show recently who was hitting the ball better than yourself? Peter in Canberra says, that just organising myself for a round of golf today, although rain is predicted, says Peter in Canberra.
Yeah, great place in Canberra, Royal Canberra. That's a beautiful golf course. A lot of good golf courses. Federal. That was Jason Shortall. I tell you what, he's had a good career for 16, 17 years in the US. But there was a good clump of Australian caddies that come over. When I was on tour back in the day, we had up to 20-odd Australian players on. There's a lot less now. Obviously, the depth of players are better. But we had a lot of caddies. So it was a real homely feel. You know, I had Dave Nielsen as my caddy, Ray Farnell. There was just a heap of them. So Shorty, we call him. He had a lot of good bags. But the interesting story to him, he had Justin Thomas's bag on the Corn Ferry Tour for a year and then somehow made his way off that bag. And Justin Thomas has gone on to bigger and better things. Wouldn't you be filthy?
He made a call and clearly the wrong call.
Probably the wrong call. Dear. I don't know what exact was. We've never brought it up.
More here. Oh, we had a text as well. You were speaking about him earlier this morning, but where your old caddy Josh Cassell, is it?
Yeah.
Someone wanted to know where he's at now.
Yeah, he's caddying for Daniel Berger, who's a really good player. He's actually injured at the moment. But he's had since he's gone on from me, went on to 11 years with John Seddon and made about $20 million. And then he went on to win with Jason Duffner and then Billy Horschel. So he's had plenty of wins. This is a kid that never caddied before, by the way. Mm. He was at college for the first year and studying law at the time. So his family were filthy when he started caddy for me. But he's gone on to bigger and better things. He's caddied in majors, Presidents' Cups, Ryder Cups. It's fantastic. And a good kid too.
Sounds like it's all worked out. How long were you on the US tour?
Oh, for me, it was only 5 years for me. I spent 9 years on the Corn Ferry Tour, which is called the Nike Tour back then, but that's the pathway to it. You know, Rod Pample and I went over there on Monday qualified to get on that tour, and then, you know, it was the tougher way to go. But there's all levels of sport you can come in at. You can come in like an Andrew Davey, you know, he plays for Manly now. He, 28, 29 years of age, he debuted. So you don't know where you're going to come in as long as you've got the belief that you're going to be there someday. That's all you need. That bit of opportunity and hope, that's all you need.
And that text goes on to ask PK at Brisbane asking, did you travel around with Jared Lyle much?
Yeah, I did. Jared, I was like his big brother, actually. I dearly miss him. He moved to Orlando just around the road from us, so I got him into my golf course. We had two totally different work ethics. I liked to practice a lot. He didn't like to practice at all. And I'd go, mate, you've got to work harder at the game. But when you'd watch him play, it was just all natural. Mm. It was so beautiful. Like for a big man, his putting stroke and his chipping, he'd smash me in a chipping comp. I'm like, he's a big fella. I'm going to smash him here because I'm a good chipper. He'd just beat me every time. He'd just give that giggle. I dearly miss him. He was such a legend bloke. And that legacy has lived on. We have Yellow Day on the PGA Tour where goes into challenge, which was something that was a big part of him through his leukemia. You know, when he was 17 years of age, challenge come along. And to Robert Allenby's credit, that was a big thing that he put a lot of money into. So, he's a good man.
I know Tiger was, around your era, the most successful and one of the most successful golfers of all time. But who was the player that probably never reached the height you expected him to? When you actually see him swing a golf club, you just go, wow, that's the best swing I've ever seen.
It's an easy answer, mate. I say it all the time. It's Ernie Earls. Four-time major champion. But how good Ernie was. And the first day I ever played with Ernie, I actually was in awe of him. I was like, how good are you? Like, he does it with ease. When they call him the Big Ease, he does it with ease. But he actually gets angry on the golf course. So the stuff you didn't see on the camera, we played at the Australian Open with Greg Chalmers and him, and I said to Greg after about eight holes, I said, Ernie's got a temper on him, hasn't he? I said, not so Big Easy. Mm. But he did it with ease. And he really underachieved. I guess the next one I'd nearly look at is someone like a Steve Elkington. Like, exceptional player, from
Wollongong.
What's that?
Wagga Boy?
Yeah, Wagga Boy. Yeah. His brother, Rob Elkington, who was my foursomes partner when I was a kid growing up on the state team. And Steve Elkington, one of the most beautiful golf swings and very knowledgeable of the game, only to win one major. Like, he won a bunch of US tours. And don't get me wrong, it's hard to win one tournament on the US tour, let alone multiple, which he's done. But just with the ability, because he's got a great short game, he's got a mind for the game, and he's beautiful golf swing. So maybe there's two.
We've got David waiting patiently. G'day, David.
Patiently I am, young Minnow. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks, mate. What do you got for us?
Quickly to say, Gowie, mate, it's great to hear you. I actually met you at Stonecutters 2 or 3 years ago, and I was playing in a group in front of you with my dad and brother. And, gents, you can't chip. I did look around. Gowie, you're talking yourself up, brother.
I said back in 1913 when I could chip.
All right, gents, my unfortunate, I've listened to the show the last couple of days and after the weekend, and I'm telling you, the 17 clubs that have suffered is all because of Melbourne Storm. They are the creators of the hip drop, they are the creators of the chicken wing, and every other club has been dealt weeks after weeks after weeks of suspension because of what they've done, and Melbourne Storm have gotten away with blue murder. Now, the whole fiasco about Felice Kaufusi, Big Self of Solomona, it's an absolute joke. And how Brandon Smith only got 3 weeks by calling an official a cheat has got me beat. Like, I know the unfortunate incident happened with Hastings on the weekend and Carrigan got 4 weeks, but Melbourne have been gotten away with blue murder for years. They are looked after by whoever it is within this organisation, and it honestly is an absolute embarrassment joke.
Well, first of all, I'd say they wouldn't be getting looked after, and it might seem that way, but it wouldn't be. They'd be treating each case on its merits. Melbourne were the leaders in some of those tackles that you described, but I also think that other clubs didn't need to follow them, if that's what they were looking to do. You try and play within the spirit of the game, and if people thought that Melbourne weren't playing in the spirit of the game, which I didn't, I thought that, you know, they were playing within the rules and it was acceptable, and sometimes they got it wrong, other times they were penalised for it. So I don't ever think they've been looked after. I think it's the fact that they probably were too smart for the match review committee at times, because they didn't actually know what they were looking for.
They were a step ahead.
They were always a step ahead.
Because I've got to say, it's quite annoying as a fan when you watch, when the wrestle first come out, that become more and more annoying, and they're the best at it.
And no doubt about that. Mm. No doubt about that. And the hip drop tackle, I don't know whether that's been created from Melbourne, because I think a lot of teams have been doing it, and it's now becoming an issue because people are having their legs taken from them. And I think that, you know, when they take their body and use their gravity and they fall on their legs, something's dreadful can happen, as we saw with Hastings on the weekend. And I also think the players at times now, when they feel someone around their legs or that type of tackle happens, I think they lie there wanting the referee to penalise.
Bit of milking.
Milking. Yeah. But that doesn't make it right or wrong. No. But I know what you mean. The frustration was there because everyone felt it with Melbourne. But at the moment, everyone is doing it and they shouldn't be doing it. And you've got to try and outlaw it. And the match review need to come down harder on them. That's, for me, where the issue is. It's the match review. If they were tougher, you wouldn't see as many of these type of incidents occur. But they've always seemed to be one step ahead.
Thanks for all the texts for Gowie in particular this morning. Another one, Johnny from Moorbank wants to know, Peter Lonard, fanatical Bulldogs supporter, where he's at the moment.
He's playing. He teaches actually at the Lakes Golf Club. You can get lessons off him for $150 on a Monday or a Tuesday. So absolutely nail him. He's made more money than God, but he's still out teaching. You know, good fun over the years, you know, Bulldogs, Eels, and I stuck around about 5,000 Parramatta golf tees around his house, in every part of his house, under his mattress, in his fridge. So every time he come home, he'd open something up. Oh, there's another Parramatta tee.
Oh, that's
here.
Pest behaviour.
But I've only been doing it for 20 years. Stickers on the bottom of his bed.
He's still finding stuff.
It's fantastic.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, love it.
DS, morning, mate.
Morning, Middo. Morning, Gowie. Morning, Loz. Gowie, good to hear from you, mate. Good to talk to you.
Hey, good. I'd rather be where you are, Bonneville with Marlow. Oh,
no,
and
I'm
you're
not.
Three or four under par through nine holes, I hear.
I'm not. No, see, I do the work today and let the boys go and play. That's how good of a bloke I am. Yeah. Just, you know, I get through Racing HQ. I'll carry Marlow tonight at that Calcutta. And he just gets to go and pretend to be Tiger for the day. Just on Bonneville, because we are going to Coffs, and that's obviously a lot of our show today. Where would you rank, and I'm not sure if this is a controversial question for you, Gavin, where would you rank Bonneville in golf courses in Australia?
Oh, well, it's definitely inside our top 20. And mate, that's really making a statement. It's just a beautiful location. I think Bonneville's one of those really good experiences. You go there, the tall pines, it's just, you know, the food, the wine, everything is there set on. It's all just perfect for you. Where the Melbourne golf courses, and I hate to say this, but they're the best in the world. Mm. So, and they've got a lot of them. But, yeah, it'd definitely be inside the top 20.
Well, there you go. So you can, next, anyone out there listening, if you can't obviously get to Coffs over the next couple of days, or you haven't been there before, put it in the diary for the Punters Club.
Head over, when you're up there at Coffs, head over to Nambucca Heads Golf Course. It's really good there. Over Paul Hapgood's the pro over there. So you can do a little bit of a trip up there. Coffs Harbour, Bonneville, over to Nambucca Heads, have a game there. They've been doing it tough through the whole floods and that, but it'd be worth a little golf trip up there in the Coffs Cup.
Any excuse to get away from Alcatraz, Loz, isn't it?
Exactly right, DS. You've got to get away, mate.
I say
never
this
stop loving having a trip away.
That's right. I say this all the time before our trips, because a lot of people will ask and say, "Oh, gee, you're here, there, and everywhere. How does that go at home?" And I've just taken a leaf out of your book, Loz, that you don't talk it up too much.
No.
You make it out like it's a bit of a
you
chore.
Do the oh, I've got to go away again.
Got to go
work.
Away. Yeah, not keen. Yeah. Oh, the weather's bad. Yeah. Oh, I'd rather be
do you think
here.
Do you think I really want to go?
Do you actually say, hey, Loz, do you say, oh.
Do you think I really want to go?
Yeah, but you say, oh, and I've got to hang out with Dave Stanley.
Yeah,
oh,
no, he's a punish.
Yeah, you just got to downplay it. Downplay.
Now, there are two Calcuttas tonight. I heard you talking about it before, Mido, in town, because a lot of texts are coming through. There's obviously the Calcutta at the Pier Hotel, which will be an outstanding Calcutta, as it always is. But there's also the Calcutta that we're hosting tonight, Luke and I, at the Moonee Beach Hotel. And the reason why we're at the Moonee Beach, a few people have been saying, how come you're not at the pier and at the Moonee Beach? Because the Short Group, who have three pubs up there, plus all these other pubs across New South Wales, they've thrown huge amounts of money at the race club in Coffs Harbour. They're now the major sponsor of the cup. And they wanted to have their own Calcutta. It's about 25, 30 minutes away from the pier. It's a totally different audience. A lot of the people that are going to probably be at our Calcutta tonight at Moonee Beach have never been to a Calcutta. A lot of younger people too, which I think is awesome. So I think it's great that there are two Calcuttas there tonight. And I think that the more people talking about the Coffs Harbour Cup, and for that fact, more cups and racing around New South Wales, I think the better. So if you're looking for Marlo and I tonight, and you can on having a few margaritas, because this is the joint, boys, that I said, that's got the, you know, 100-plus tequilas. They've got a big Mexican bar there looking at all sorts of things. So if you're wanting to get along to the Calcutta tonight at the Moonee Beach Hotel, that's where Luke and myself will be. And we'll be broadcasting live as well from Coffs Harbour tomorrow morning ahead of the Cup. Today's show, we've got Chris Roots, obviously a big announcement today from Racing New South Wales. We will be finding out what that is a little bit later on. I tell you what, very good. You know, you were talking about leaks yesterday in the Origin camp, Loz?
Yep.
Mate, they've obviously been down to Bunnings. They've got the Sillies, the Silicon. There's just not a leak. Everyone you ask, even the great man Ray Thomas, I said, what's doing here? No one knows. So
really?
big surprise later. Ooh, big surprise.
Love surprises.
Maybe Madonna. Is Madonna going to perform at the Everest?
Madonna.
Maybe. Who would you have, actually? If you could have one artist perform at the Everest, who would it be?
Foo Fighters, Pearl Jam.
Foo Fighters? Gowie?
Alive or dead?
Jeez. There's, well, I'll go a line. Elvis.
I'll go Guy Sebastian.
Elvis.
Hang on. Gowie, out of any person in the world, you've said Guy Sebastian. Like, I know he's a good guy.
I love his music. It depends.
Any artist in the world, Gowie, and you've gone Guy.
I know. Post Malone, actually.
Post Malone. Yeah. Oh, very good. All right, so that's...
Loz is looking at me. You don't know who Post Malone is.
No, Post Malone. I've heard of him.
Mate, what about Harry music? Styles? I'll tell you what, boys. I've been getting into a bit of Harry Styles. Have you listened to his new album?
Please.
I'm going to put my hand up. Middo, you laugh. God. Now, I'm telling you, mate, I've booked tickets. I'm going to see Harry Styles next year.
Give us a full report. Hey, Dave, before you go, I just want to say a big thanks to Gowie for co-hosting this morning, mate.
Hey, mate, thanks for having me.
The listeners have loved it.
No, it's good fun. Good fun indeed. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
It's going to be good. J-Mac's going to join us as well on Racing HQ. We've got Chris Lees, Matt Dale, Brock Ryan. Enjoy. Go and Google Post Malone right now. Loz, crank them in the camera on the way home. We're going to get to the news. We've got Racing HQ coming up. Don't go anywhere. See, I'm already copying it here. There's a couple of texts. Can't believe you're going to Harry. There's nothing wrong with him. He's got some good tunes. That Daylight, it goes good.